My text is in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 14. There are so many verses here, but verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We often forget, but he remembers. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Well, tonight we're looking at a psalm that is so well loved by all of us, I'm sure, and well known to all of us here as well. A psalm that if we cannot recite it from the beginning to the end right through, that I'm sure that only to have somebody leading in the reading or the reciting of it, we would be able to finish off most of the verses, if not all of them. It's one of those psalms that clings to our hearts and to our minds and our souls and means a great deal to all of us. It's a remarkable psalm. It's strange, really, that we should love it so much because it doesn't spare us any either. Yet it is a very wonderful psalm. We see here the transient nature of life. We are reminded of the unchanging character of God. We are shown also the overwhelming kindness of God's mercy and his love as well. And there is so much to learn in the psalm. Indeed, verse by verse. Now I've chosen verse 14 as a text, not because particularly it's a key verse. I don't know which is a key verse there, but I think you can stand there on any verse and there regard the other verses as well. But I felt it was a verse that reminded us of God and of our place and station before God. He knoweth our frame and he remembereth that we our dust. But there is something else in this psalm that is very much in my heart and my soul. As I prepared, and it came particularly so towards the end that I think my soul took flight. I think that literally happened. I certainly don't know what will happen in the preaching, but I do know that in the preparing it was so. And it is a phrase that I know so well. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And the question really I have to ask tonight is this. Does your soul tonight, and I'm asking you in the quietness of your heart, can you say in your heart that you bless the Lord? Look at that first verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's worship, you say. That your innermost being, that your soul, your heart, your mind, you, all that is within us, suddenly it rises up in adoration to God, and we bless his holy name. Are we able to do that? Is your heart and your soul tonight able to do that in a way that is true and that you know in your heart that it is so? The psalm ends in the same way. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, we do not always bless the Lord. Sometimes, in the life of a Christian, he allows something to cloud his vision. Let me share with you a verse that I had this morning. It's a verse that's been going over and over in my heart and mind this week. And I think it is a very beautiful one. But I always misquote, so I'm going to read it so I get it correctly here. It's in that very long psalm that you all know. It's verse 165. Listen to these words. Great peace are they which love thy law. Beautiful words, aren't they? Great peace are they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Just think now. If my heart is offended with God, I am hindering in my heart the worship of God. If my heart is offended with the circumstances I find myself in, or offended with another person, remember, it is as sinful to take offense as it is to offend. If I allow that, I can't bless God. Wherever I go, wherever I am, I cannot bless God. Great peace have they
which love thy law. For nothing shall offend them. You there? And if you are there, you're in this lovely area where you're able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now here in this psalm, it talks about those who believe, certainly there. But let us talk of those who are not the Lord's here tonight. And I do not mean it unkindly, because you are here because you desire to know the Lord. There are many here tonight. You're longing, aren't you? You're just longing to know the Lord. And you hear the word, and you know the word, and you understand the word too. And you know the grace of God is near to you. And yet there must be that something in you, and also in God's approach to you. And it could be this night, let your soul be inclined towards God. Or I think it's in another of Joseph Hart's hymns that we sang, not tonight, but I seem to remember this line, to give him our supreme attention, to give God the attention of my soul and of my heart, that such a miracle and such grace might visit me on such a Sabbath evening as this, and that I might worship him. Let us trace then the work of God's grace running like a golden thread through this lovely psalm, and that many more in this service might join the company of God and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, all I'm going to do now is just bring one or two things to you that I trust will help us all. I'd like to talk about the memory of God. I say the memory of God, I felt almost wrong in putting the title down. And yet it's here, you see, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. What a remarkable, strange, infallible, absolute memory God must have. How strange our memories are. How conveniently we choose to forget or don't want to remember. But the memory of God is perfect. What is he remembering? In this psalm here, what does he choose to remember? Now, he chooses to remember certain things about us, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. It's as if he were looking upon us and seeing us as we are, and in our frailty, and how we lose our tempers, how we get cross, and all the little things, the myriad things that make up our daily lives, miserable and happy things, all sorts of things. And in his dealings with us, he says, I'm dealing with dust. I must remember that. I am God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, immortal, invisible, God only wise. And in dealing with these little proud creatures that struts upon the earth, I must remember they don't. I must remember that they are dust. And so in my dealings with them, I must remember that they're easily crushed. I must remember that they are but dust. He knoweth our frame. And so when God is dealing with you or with myself here in a service like this tonight, this is a kind of a principle that helps us to understand. Now, let's look at it for a moment. He knows our limitation. Now, in verse 15, in remembering and knowing our frame. Well, what is my frame like? Well, you know, we could have all sorts of details, our measurements and our weights and I don't know what, of all the things that would give some kind of an assessment of our size, our stature, our appearance and our abilities. And I don't know what altogether they can measure today. But we could be measured nearly in every possible way you can think of. And so you might say, well, those are our measurements. But are they our measurements? Are they? As for man, his days are as grass. Now let's look at it carefully. Let's pretend that in my hand I have a little bunch of grass. And I take a blade and it's gone. And I take another blade and it's gone. And do you know what he's saying? Look, he's saying, I'll go to this field, come with me. And he just takes a handful of grass and he says, throw some away, those are your days. Just like that. Little fluttery things. like a handful of grass. That's all. Remember, it's God that's speaking. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Some types of grass have a little flower. For a while, we blossom a little. We preen ourselves and think we're a lovely little flower. And we think we're very intelligent and very able, and we pride ourselves. But only grass. Only grass. That's all. For the wind passeth over it. Have you noticed the field sometimes? I think we notice these things when we're on holiday, don't we? When we go for little walks, and we go through the fields, maybe. And then the breeze arises. And we're looking over some fields, and lovely shades of green, beautiful shades. Some also yellow green, others a browny kind of rusty green, others a kind of startling green, all sorts of greens. And then the wind comes, and then the grass bends like that. As it does so, you see different shades. It's a very beautiful sight. But the wind comes, and all the grass bows. None stands. Whichever the wind, whichever way the wind may choose to go. And the wind passeth over it. What's he saying about the wind here? For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. The wind is gone, yes. So the grass too, its brief life. Nobody remembers the blades of grass. It is but a little thing, very beautiful, beautiful colours and shades, but gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Now God remembers that. We forget. He knoweth our frame. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Figure changes a little here, but it's all the same. Now, I shall deal with these little blades of grass that make up a bunch together that makes a little life. I shall deal with these little men and women on earth, however proud or important they may think they are, and their brief little day and life's little day soon ebbs out for them. I shall deal with them, but in my dealing with them, I must remember this, says God, if you can put it in a human way, I must remember that they're dust. I must remember they can't take much. I must remember that only just the slightest breath of mine and they're scattered. I must remember that. So in my dealings, and if I walk their way, I must be careful the way I walk, because they are as dust and they are frail. So he remembereth this. How does he remember? What kind of activity then is promoted in his heart as he remembereth that we are dust? Listen to this verse. Verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He looks as dust, whose days are just like grass, transient, soon gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. He looks at us, and the dust of death is ours as well. For to dust we return. And he looks at us, and he has pity. Divine pity. Beautiful pity. Gracious pity. Not patronizing pity. Not arrogant pity. Not obnoxious pity. But beautiful and warm and kind and flowing. So he pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That's one thing I'd like to bring to you, the memory of God. What else should we say about God? What about the mercy of God? Because we've almost touched on it in his pity. The mercy of God. Look at verse 17 with me. But the mercy of the Lord. You can almost, if one was putting this psalm to music, you can almost feel, can't you, the gentle and the quiet parts. You know, the part where it's to be very, very quiet and gentle. And then the part that rises to a great crescendo. And then as if it was a great clarion call and trumpet calls. You can see it all there. And then you can hear the clear note also, maybe, of a clarinet or trumpet, whatever you like, of a soul crying out and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. There's an orchestra of sound here, and of thoughts, and of spiritual truth. All that is there. But the mercy of the Lord
is where? From everlasting to everlasting. We've been talking about grass, the wind blowing over it, the place thereof not knowing it anymore. We're talking about dust. He remembereth our frame. He knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. Talking about that, and right to the other end. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Now suddenly we find this God of pity, remembering that we are dust, knowing our frame, and now is approaching us in mercy. What kind of mercy? Everlasting mercy, pitiful, gracious, glorious mercy. What is also there? The righteousness of God. And he's going to visit unclean and sinful people with cleanliness and with righteousness and purity. The approach of God and the mercy of God. The verses of the psalm are quoted in many places. They're quoted particularly by Peter. And you remember the chapter and the verse, 1 Peter 1, verses 24 and 5. I'll read you the verses. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. That adds a little, doesn't it? It's by the Holy Spirit doing it. Listen to it again. Yes, Lord. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, still quoting from the psalm, is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth. You've seen grass, haven't you? You've seen it when it's having a hard time sometimes. Even before its normal span, it withers, browns and crinkles. The grass withereth, and its little flower falleth. Our little glory, our little pride, our little ambition, our little achievement, it falleth to the ground. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But he's really clinging to the psalm still, as Peter here. But the word of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, the word of the Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting, says the psalm. Endureth forever, says Peter here. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Mercy is shown to dust. Now then, we then come to that great, great spiritual experience that Peter refers to then. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed like grass that finishes, but of an incorruptible by the will of God. Now then, something can happen. In this great span of the grass and the grass withering and perishing, the mercy of God everlasting and enduring, a life that can go and the place thereof shall know it no more and be just as dust, that God can lay hold upon dust, do something, and grant us life that shall endless be, and a blossom that shall ever flourish. That's what we say. And that's why we are here. And this is what your soul, if you're not the Lord's here tonight, this is what your soul is crying out for and agonizing for. It desires this, so that in this life, let alone the next, that we might rejoice in God our Maker and delight in him. Now then, how does it happen? Let's cling to the psalm again. In verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. You can almost feel now, going back as if this were some musical passage that we have, and here you have a part where you have a steady beat. And what are we hearing here? Here is a steady theme that is recurring, that God is dealing and God is speaking. He made known his acts. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He dealt to the children of Israel. He was with them in prosperity and adversity. He showed them the way. He rebuked them. He encouraged them. He made known his acts unto the children of Israel. When they didn't know where to turn, he opened the sea. He led them through. Many, many times, could they say, he made known his acts unto the children of Israel. His ways he made known unto Moses. What is the way of God? It is a holy way. It is a pure way. It is a clean way. How did he make known to Moses his way? His way of thinking? He gave him commandments. He gave those commandments for us, that we should love God with our total being. We should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's the way I want, says God. That's my way. It is a way of pure love. That way. So we have this verse here reminding us. And it's in the context of verses that talk about sin. Now then, we have grace in Christ. And there is in the Psalms here, we know, there is that great looking towards a great act of mercy of God in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But let's look at the verses now, and look at them now in the context of wonderful Calvary and blessed Lord Jesus Christ. So many verses we sang here. I keep trying to recall them to my mind now. Oh, this one. Lo, the incarnate God ascended, pleads the merit of his blood. Venture on him, venture holy. Let no other trust in truth. Then these phrases, these two lines. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. The verse I really looked at was verse 5. We'll look at that in a moment. Now then, his dealings with me in Christ. You come to Christ. A sinner deserves to be punished. The punishment is hell. Hell is eternal. Can't give you any other news than that. We've got to tell you that. Hell is endless. The torment of hell is indescribable. There is no end to it. There is no pardon. There is no reprieve. Hell is final once we are there. But it is a day of grace now. The moment you're living in now is a day of grace and a season of repentance. These holy moments in this chapel building tonight are moments of grace, are moments for repentance, are moments for faith. That's the kind of thing that we are thinking of, and the workings of God toward us. In Christ, look at the verses, verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Well, he has dealt with our sins, and he has dealt with our iniquities. Let me read you that verse I was referring to. View him, the Lord Jesus, view him prostrate in the garden. On the ground your Maker lies. Then on Calvary's tree behold him. Hear him cry before he dies, it is finished. Sinner, will not this suffice? Are you not satisfied in what he has done by God's grace for us, that he has taken our sin and dealt with it there? Well, have I really got rid of my sin when I have faith and when I believe? Listen to these verses, those who waver in their faith. Listen to these verses, those who haven't ventured into faith. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. How big is thy mercy, Lord? Is it big enough for me? Is there enough forgiveness in Christ for me? Are Calvary's arms wide enough to embrace me? Is the cross that high that it can reach heaven for me? Is the cross that low that it can reach the vileness of my sin? How great is the mercy of God? Then he tells us, think of heaven and the height of heaven, and think of earth. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. For those of you who desire to venture, don't doubt his mercy. Then verse 12. Well, what about my sin? What about it? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us, never to meet again. Now think. I really want you to think of this, my friends. East and west here, and we're not using the terms of a globe. East and west is meaning this way and that way. They never meet. Think. They never meet. What happens here? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. My sin now, I lay on Christ on Calvary. He pays the penalty, and he says, now you get going in the direction of God, and look at this sin. And he flings the sin away to be forgotten in the mercy of God forever. They never meet. They never meet. And whatever Satan may say, and remind us of past sin and of past heartbreaks, you can answer him back and say, my Savior died for me. My Savior lived for me. And we are able to say that as far as the east is from the west, there can be no meeting again with that state of sin I was in and the grace I am in now. Do you believe? Wonderful. Truly wonderful. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. The memory of God, the mercy of God. Now then, the majesty of God. Many believers here tonight, many on the brink, come, come now. Call on him from where you are. Call on a God of mercy, dust as you are. And even if you're a proud piece of dust, realize that dust can't be proud, it's foolish. Call on God, and his mercy will pour upon you. Call on God, and the merits of Christ will be yours, and your sin will be separated from you forever, never to meet again. Then join us in enjoying the majesty of God. Now verse 19, I'm going to go all over the psalm now. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He's asking us now, as those who believe, think of God and think of his majesty and think of the throne of God and think of his magnificence and think of his beauty, and his kingdom ruleth over all. There is none that can compete, none ever dare to contradict. He is God alone and supreme. Then in verse 20, bless the Lord. Listen to the chorus beginning now. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, those who are in glory surrounding him. Bless the Lord. It is a command, yet a glorious one. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. They bless him. All bless him. Listen to verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, a great and a heavenly host, innumerable company there. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. See the congregation gathering. It is time to bless the Lord, we are told in heaven. And they all gaze upon the splendor of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They remember the redemption of Christ and the glory of his planning and his fulfillment. All this and the wonder of the second coming, but now the culmination of all and the great generous assembly of God, and a great cry of bless the Lord, rising from the angels, rising from those who minister, rising from the great host of heaven. All that. Are we there? Are you there?
Will you be there?
Why should I be there? Am I silent now in my heart and cannot bless him? Listen to why I should bless him if you're a believer. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving care and tender mercies. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Destruction and desolation and hell will not be thine, and crowns thee with loving care and tender mercies. So he redeems thee and he crowns thee. He does this. Verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. We're not just talking of eating here. We're talking of the appetite of the soul and the appetite of the heart that has now been redeemed. Do you remember that they who are the Lord, that they hunger and thirst after righteousness, they are in the righteousness of Christ, yet they hunger and thirst for more. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, so that you have a strange and a wonderful strength, even in this life. Thy youth renewed like the eagles. Whatever age you may be, however frail you may be, thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And listen to the verses in Isaiah, where many of these verses are quoted as well, besides this one. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Ordinary young people shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Whatever has happened to dust, grace has laid hold upon dust. Grace. And we shall see glory because of that. Listen again. Bless the Lord. His angels bless him. His ministers bless him. The heavenly host bless him. And then King David says, bless the Lord, all his works. What's that? Planet Earth, the solar system, galaxies, universe beyond. Words that are not contained in any language to describe the creative abilities and the creative achievements of our God. All his works will stand back and they will bless him because he is God in all places of his dominion. One little word left. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Shall I tell you a secret? The choir is not complete. Is not complete unless those where he has laid his hand upon can say in their hearts, bless the Lord, O my soul. There are some here tonight. There are some. The hand of God is upon you. You know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know that he died on Calvary for your sin. You know it is true. You know it is the only way. You know that there is faith for you. Yet you can't bless him. Venture on him. Venture wholly. So that tonight that you'll be able to say from your innermost being, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, wilt thou take the words together? Wilt thou put them in a right order? Wilt thou so apply them in the power of the Spirit that they might penetrate deep into the hearts and souls of men and women? Thou who art able to separate all those confusing things in our minds and hearts, that we might see clearly that this is the only way, that no man cometh unto the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.